James, the first chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let us pray. Father, I sure want to thank you again for the wonderful grace of God. You're good to us, Father. You're kind and you're full of grace and goodness. And Father, your mercy is great. Thank you for loving us when we're so, Father, unlovable. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus, our precious, precious Savior. And once again, it's in his precious name that I pray for your help and guidance tonight as I preach. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, when slavery was in force down in the South, they had slave auctions from time to time. And this young man was on a auction block to be sold. And there was a man came, and he was watching the whole thing and looking. And when this young man came up for sale, he bought him. And so he done the paperwork and all he had to do. And after he had done that, he went up to pick this young man up. And the young man looked at him and he said, I understand you're an Englishman. And he said, yes, young man. He said, I am. He said, and he laughed at him. And he said, sir, you just wasted your money. He said, slavery has been abolished in England. And he said, son, I didn't buy you to make you a slave. I bought you to set you free. He said, the young man looked at him and for a good little bit and said, sir, I'll be your willing slave for the rest of my life. Now, the reason I'm telling you that story is because we read verse number 1, and James said he was a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't understand the depth of that word servant if we just read it. It means a bond servant, one who has bonded his life to God and the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. And so when he begins to speak, he's someone I want to listen to. He's not just a servant as you would think maybe of a servant. No, he was a bond servant. He was a love servant. He loved God and he loved Jesus, and he said, I'll serve you for the rest of my life freely and willingly. Now, this is what James was, and I always kind of liked the idea of being a servant of the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Ross, is there advantages? Yes. The master has responsibility to take care of the servant.
Amen.
And meet all of his needs.
Amen.
And I want to testify tonight, before I really begin this message, that my God has met my need for 70 years.
Amen.
And has never once failed me.
Amen.
Since I've become a child of God, there is not one need. I said need. That he has ever not fulfilled in my life. And I want to thank him for that. It's a privilege to serve one who takes care of his children. And well, he does. And remember, I hate it that we always had to stress that, but in today's world we have to. I said need. He's always taken care of the need of my life. And I'm very grateful and thankful for that. In this portion of Scripture, there are two kinds of temptations. One of them is spoken of that is inspired by God himself. In verse number 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." In verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And once again, these come from the Lord. God schedules them. God decides when these trials and are going to come into our life. God makes that decision, and they come from him. Let me show you over, if you just turn over one book over to 1 Peter. Let me just read a couple of verses to you out of 1 Peter, 1st chapter. Keep your place there in James. I want you to notice what he says. I'll only read verse 6 and 7. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." That means trials. And he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God tells us that the trying of our faith is more precious than that of gold. It's important that God tries his children. That temptation he talked about there in verse 2 and verse 12, he's talking about the temptation or the trying of our faith. And James said, count it all joy when that happens in your life, you see. And then also in verse 13, we find the other one that comes not from God, but from Satan. And he says in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." If you notice there that he says God absolutely cannot be tempted with evil, and he does not tempt men with evil. That's something we need to remember. When an evil thing comes upon us, or a thought or an action, you can be assured of one thing: that did not come from God. That's important that we understand that. And if you'll notice in those same verses of Scripture, I think I read them, but in verse 15, "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, what he's talking about in our Sunday school class last week, we talked about lust of the flesh. And we found out, according to Strong's Concordance, the definition of the word lust is longing for something that is forbidden. What I'm saying to you, you can just mark it down. If something is forbidden, it's not according to the Word of God, it's not okayed in the Word of God, it certainly is not from God. And we've got to be very, very careful with that we distinguish between the two. In fact, I think it's pretty easy to distinguish between the two, and I want to just give you something here that'll help. I believe that when God tempts us or God tries our life, the objective of it in our life is always for our good and for His glory. God wants to glorify Himself through us, and when He tries us, it's always so that He would be glorified and we would be helped. Amen? And then, of course, when Satan, as his objective, it is always toward the spiritual downfall of God's children. You see, through the pretext of wanting to help you, wanting to give you something that would be gain in your life and personal pleasure. One illustration takes care of that, and that's the life of Eve. Satan come and offered to him or to her, and he said, "You will be as gods." You see, Satan has always got an alternative motive. It's never for your good. It's never to glorify God. So we find that God is warning us here that we have to be very, very careful about the temptations and where they come from. You know, when God tempted Abraham, and that's what the Bible says, that He tempted Abraham. But He tempted Abraham. He tried Abraham. It's what He done. And He told him, and He asked him to give his only son Isaac, take him up on that mountain and sacrifice him there on that mountain. God had a purpose and reason because He was going to try Abraham's faith. All the years of my Christianity, and let me say yours too, since you've been saved, God has been in the process of trying you and me. God always does that. He tries His children. A step of faith that is not tried is not a step of faith. God always tries. That's why when you come to an altar, you make a decision up here in an altar somewhere. It's a wonderful thing. It's a right thing to do. Maybe it's just a decision to live better and do right. I'll guarantee you that will be tried. Opportunities to do the opposite will be given you. Do you understand? You see, God wants to try His children. He wants to prove His children. He wants to strengthen His children. Now, after Abraham did what he was supposed to do, then after he was faithful in doing what he was supposed to do, offering his son, then he heard the words from God. He says, "Now I know that you fear God." So I'm saying to you and I, God tries us, proves us. Do we fear God? Do we really trust God? You and I will be tested and tried. So James says in verse 2, he said, just count it all joy. In other words, it's a right, it's a good thing. That word for count it simply means that joy which will follow after the trial. I've not found too many tragedies and trials in my life that I've, what I say, the flesh enjoyed. But I've always found that after the trials that God puts me through, I always find joy in the fact that I was able, with God's strength, to do what He wanted me to do. There's always joy there after the trial. It's not fun while many times we're going through that. You see, in other words, you know, we're living in the present, but we need to be looking to the future. I know I preached that message, you know, live your life with your eye on the judgment seat. But it's not all on the negative side. Live your life in such a way that God can bless you. And it may not come today or tomorrow, but it will come. It will come. For God always, always takes care of His children. It may be gloom now, but glory in the days to come. That's like Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How many of us has there been in some areas of our life that there's been weeping? over periods of time, there's been weeping, but joy comes in the morning. And I want to encourage you, the trials that God tries his people with are for the purpose of making you and I better for God and bringing us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of temptation, I don't believe we have any control over. I believe that's completely in God's hands. He's the one that decides how he tries us and how we need to be tried in our life. I'm saying to you folks, you and I have weaknesses that we don't even realize we have, but God knows them. And God knows we need to be strengthened in those areas of our life. And so he puts us through some pretty difficult times sometimes, but it's for our good. It's the purpose to help us and to strengthen us. Now, there's temptations all around us. Making a difference who we are, we face temptations on a regular basis. They're there. If you want to yield to them, you'll have no problem yielding to them because they're there. You drive down the road, there's billboards. You go into a store and there's filthy magazines and there's all kinds of things around you. The dress that young people have to witness today as they go out and see how these young girls dress, many not only young girls dress, I mean filthy way, and I'm saying to you that's temptation. But we've got to learn to turn our head. You may not help in seeing what you see the first time, but you don't have to look back. You understand? I don't whether I told you this or not. That happens when you get older. But we had a bank teller over at Duggar. And bless her heart, I'm sure she's unsaved, but I went in there one day, and I mean, it was so low, and I kept looking up like this. And I looked over her head and talked to her. She kept looking at me like, what's the matter? I was not going to look back at that. And I'm telling you, if I go in again, I've already made up my mind, and she waits on me, I'm going to speak to her about it. I'm not going to be mean or unkind, but I'll go and drive to Sullivan to the bank before I'll go in and look at that. Amen. What I'm saying to you is we don't have to be a part of that. We can stop, and we can look another direction, and God would have us to do that. You understand? We temptations, I'm telling you, are everywhere, and but there's a way out. Did you know that? There's a way out. God has prepared an escape for us that we could be able to bear it. Amen. You see, that's the promise of our wonderful God. They tell me, never been there, but they tell me on the Hudson River, up as they leave the port up there and you're heading out into the bay there, he says when you first head out through there, there's a big, massive rock wall. And it looks like you're just heading right toward that rock wall. But you get out there just a little closer and all at once there opens up a way. And he says, and then you sail through that and into a beautiful bay. I want to tell you, God has always got an open way. We don't have to yield to that temptations. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, they're all around us, but we do not have to yield to that, you see. We need to just go on and know that God will open a way. Now, in James, the first chapter, 14th and 15th verse, you'll notice he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, we're not to go out and seek temptations. We're not to be in the same area where temptations are. There's a legend that was told, and I read this some time back. It was just a legend told, and it was about a man of God had went into a place, a theater type place, where there was not good things going on, And old Satan came and tried to attack him and tempt him. And he said, how dare you come to a man of God and try to tempt him? And Satan said, how dare you come to my territory? You see, you don't have to go to Satan's territory. You stay away from it. For the, you know, since my Christian life, and I've been growing in my Christian life in other ways too, but I've been growing in my Christian life a good long time. And there's been a lot of things I've had to put aside. What I'm hoping for some of our young people is that you'll finally realize one of these days that you're not going to win that battle. Oh, Satan's always there to tempt you and try you. That you've got to make some decisions. You've got to make some determinations that this is the way I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk in a godly manner. I'm not going to go where the temptations are. I'm going to stay away from them. I'm going to walk where God would have me to walk. And I would say to you, and I'm saying to you, and of course that's for us older folk too, but you young folk has got to make some determinations and decisions that this is the direction that my life is going. I'm not going to walk like the world walks. I'm going to walk like God would have me to walk. And you have to make those determinations or you'll find yourself in places that are not good. And where old Satan can just influence you and tempt you, and there's no need of it. You need to stay away from those kind of places. I remember, I've told this story many times as I've preached, but it illustrates what I'm saying, I think, very well. There was years ago, there was a man who was worked on a ranch outside of a town, a little old town, and every Saturday night he would come to town and he would tie his horse to the hitching rail there and he would go into the saloon and he would drink. That was just his habit. That's what he'd done every Saturday night. Well, there was a little old Baptist church down the road. I think its name was Blessed Hope Baptist Church, maybe. But his little old Baptist church had got a hold of that guy and told him about Jesus, and he got saved. And so he, after that, came to town. He'd tie his horse there at the hitching rack, and he'd go on to other places and buy what he needed and come back. And he'd done this week after week, and he kept looking at that saloon. And he said there was a great temptation to go in. So he talked to his pastor about it. And he said, Pastor, he said, I go over and he said, I tie my horse at the hitching rail. And he said, there's that temptation to go in. He said, son, tie your horse at a different hitching rail. Now, some of us need to tie our horse at a different hitching rail. You need to stay away from the places where you used to sin. The things you used to do. Stay away from them. You don't need to be around those. You need to do that in all areas of your life because Satan is there to tempt. Stay away from it. Don't put yourself in a situation where old Satan's going to have power over you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Walk the godly life. Amen. Don't do like the world does, you see. So I'm just saying to you, you ought to tie your horse at a different hitching rail. Think so? Amen. Amen. Sure. And then, of course, I was thinking about Lot's wife today. I was thinking about her and how she turned around and looked as they left Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was trying to decide why she turned around. And I know that scripturally, I don't really know, but I do know she left some children back there that did not believe. And I almost got a feeling that she had kind of fallen in love with some of the society people back there in Sodom. And she kind of longed to go back there. And so God told God told Lot when he left there, he said, he said, you leave, you flee this city. And of course, he had an awful time doing that, and finally the angel had to usher him out. But he added some words to what he had told him. He said, look not behind thee. Simple four words. Look not behind thee. That's all it was. And she couldn't stand it. See, it's very simple. I'm saying to you, look not behind you. Look not back at the past life that you may have lived and long for it, like the Israelites long for Egypt. You see, God's got a better plan. You understand? He's got a much better plan. Now, some young folk don't know that. They've never figured that out, that God's plan is a better plan. Some of you have. Some of you haven't. You just haven't figured it out. But God's plan is always better. And always will be better, you see. So I'm saying to you, there is temptations. Everywhere you want to look, they're there. All you have to do is just look around. But I'm saying to you, folks, walk away from them temptations. Amen. Walk away from them. Love God. Walk with God. And decide that you're just going to live for the Lord no matter what happens. You're going to put Him first. And you're going to stay out of those places that might cause you to turn. And you got to be careful about flirting around with sin. You see, listen to me. You can flirt with sin and you can think you're just stronger than anyone else, that you can make it, that you're not going to fall. Well, I just want to assure you of one thing. You're not stronger than Satan. You never will be, and you need God's strength and God's help, and God will make a way of escape. Yes, He will, but you've got to follow the Lord. Amen. You see, so I just want to give you kind of an illustration here on not flirting with sin. Years ago, when the Civil War was going on, they used to take cotton out of the South, and some of the people in the South would sell their cotton to the North. They'd take it up riverboats, and they'd sell it for great prices and make great profits off of it. So this here peddler of cotton came to this riverboat captain one day, and he said, I want you to carry a load of cotton up north so we can make a bunch of money. He said, I'll give you $500. At that time, that was a lot of money. He said, I'll give you $500. And he said, no, I won't do that. He said, I'll give you $1,000. He said, no, sir, I ain't going to do that. He said, I'll give you $3,000. That old river captain pulled out his gun and he ordered that man off of his boat. And he said, son, you're getting too close to my price. And he said, I want you out of here. I'm saying to you, flirt around with sin, you're going to find you're getting too close to your price. Do you understand that? You see, we can't, for some reason, we older folk can't get it over to the younger folk a lot. Sometimes that there's so many dangers out there, so easy to fall, so easy. I mean, it's just easy to fall. You've got to be careful. I mean, you've got to be careful. You see. So anyway, when we was out in Cambridge, Maryland, over in Delaware. We'd go visit this church in a town called Del Mar. And the reason I mention that is because the main street went down, and they called it Del Mar. Half of it was in Delaware, half of it was in Maryland. And they called it Del Mar. I could drive down the street, and Donna could be in Delaware, and I could be in Maryland. That's the way it was. Well, there was a street like that down in Tennessee, between Tennessee and Virginia. They even had big brass things out there showing that this was the state line between them. And this old Tennessean whiskey peddler, He would do his work over there, and then he'd run across over and stand on the other side of the street so the sheriff couldn't arrest him. Many times he'd done that, and one day they was standing there, and the sheriff looking at him and him looking back and kind of smiling. That sheriff said, "You know, son," said, "you're one of the smartest people I have ever seen in my life. You've got this thing down pat. All you have to do is go over here and you're illegal and doing wrong." And he said, "You step across there and I can't touch you." He said, "I'd like to shake your hand." And that old guy said, "Okay." And he pulled him over and arrested him. Now, that sounds kind of silly, but let me tell you something. If you don't be careful, old Satan's going to pull you over. You get too close to the line. See, you walk too close to the line. I'm telling you now, some of you are walking too close to the line. You think you're going to make it, but old Satan knows exactly how to pull you over that line. Knows exactly how to do it. And then he'll arrest you. He'll get you doing things you ought not to do. I'm just saying to you, please, 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 please do right. Please walk on the foreside of the line. Don't walk up next to it, you see. I just want to share with you also that you don't think for one moment that the temptations, and I'm talking about going back now to the trials of life, are for naught. I want you to realize that God is strengthening you through these trials. A tree that will blow in the wind back and forth, they tell us that their roots will grow deeper. I was telling Pastor Jerry here, we had three big old, well, not big, they're newly planted trees out in our front yard. And the other night when them winds went through, and I had them propped up. I'd cut a couple or pieces of oak. And I thought, well, I put that down on the ground and tie them to them. And they'd never, you know, that would never break. Well, the other night it broke two of them. Broke two of the stakes that held them up. Now, the trees that I planted was so limber that it took them over and they laid on the ground, but it didn't break them. God was good to me. And David and Jessica came down and, David and Jonathan came down and helped me, and we put a steel post, tied a treated 2x4 to that, and then tied the tree to that. And now if they go over, look out, because there's been a hurricane. And I'm just simply saying, though, it's good for a tree to go back and forth. It makes their roots go deeper. There's nothing wrong with you being tossed back and forth and tried as God so tries us. Nothing wrong with that. It's good for you. It'll strengthen you. And in fact, let me say something to you. It's the only way you're ever going to get stronger. If you don't go through trials and tribulations, you will be a weak little baby. Let me say something to you. I've been preaching now for over 40 years, and I've seen a lot of things. And I know many of you have seen a lot of things. But I've watched people over those years. And I've watched the ones that just can never seem to get it right. In fact, it takes nothing to blow them around. And it's because they've never allowed the trials of life to strengthen them. Every little trouble that comes their way, they absolutely just want to falter. And that's because they're little babies still. No, that's what they are. They're babies. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just telling you, I've seen it. Do you think some of these, look around at some of these people for You know, multitudes of years has been right at this church. Do you think they never had any troubles? You think they've never had any trials and tribulations? You'd be foolish to say that if you're thinking that. You know why they're right here serving God as they have been doing for years and years and years? Because they have an inner strength. They've been strengthened by the Lord. Folks, you can't just let everything blow you around with every wind of doctrine and every little problem. You can't do that. You got to grow strong. And the only way you're going to do that is God puts things into our life to strengthen us, not to make us weak, but to strengthen us and strengthen our faith. I might give another illustration here. Used to be a Christian young man that went to work for this farmer. He worked out on the farm, and they got very close because they worked together a lot. And this young man told the farmer, who was a very rich man, he said, "You know," he said, "oh, Satan just bothers me all the time. He said, he's always after me. He's always giving me trouble." The rich man said to him, he said, "Well, I don't understand that. I don't have any trouble with Satan." And he said, so 2 or 3 weeks later, as they done quite often, the rich man liked to go duck hunting. And he said they went out, and he said he shot some, and some he killed, and some he only wounded. And he told the young man, he said, "Now run after the ones that's wounded. Get them, catch them," because he said the other ones are dead. And so he did, and he came back, and he said, "I've got it. I understand it." He said, "The reason Satan's after me is because I'm alive and you're dead." And let me tell you, that's true. You want to say, "Oh, Satan doesn't bother you, he don't get after you"? I want to tell you what, you're dead. You're dead. Amen. So I'm just saying to you folks, listen, oh, Satan's after us. Satan's after God's children. He always will be. He always trying to destroy you. Always trying to you walk right on the line instead of far away from the line, like the Lord would have you walk. I don't know how long ago this was, but I read something that stuck with me for many years. This man said, "Christians are like a boat." He said, "Many Christians are like a rowboat. They depend completely. They can't carry much load because they depend completely on human strength." He said, "Some Christians are like a sailboat. They can carry a little more weight because they're depending on something from without, people from without, or something from without." But he said these old big old ships that sail the sea, that carry massive loads, can do that because inside they have turbine motors that are strong and powerful. And I want to tell you something. A Christian won't carry much load if he depends on himself. Oh, he'll get along a little ways, but he'll be a mess. He'll be like the ones I talked about. He'll be leaving here and leaving there and jumping here and jumping there, and not, you know, just because he can't carry any load. He's a baby. And then you got the other Christians that they depend on everybody else. It's always somebody without that's propping them up and helping them go. They might carry just a little more load, but they can't carry the load that needs to be loaded. But the Christian that'll carry the load and stand and live for God for the rest of their life is those who have an inner strength that's put there by the Lord. I want to tell you, I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for that inner strength. No, there's no way. I can't do it. And people can't prop me up. It takes the Lord. So I'm saying to you, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let God try you and test you and know the difference. Know the difference between the temptations that come from Satan, because his desire is to destroy you and hurt you and weaken you. I'm saying to you, take the truth of these scriptures and become a strong adult, because you have the strength of God that helps you walk every day of your life. Let me pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. Thank you again for who you are. You're a good God. You're always good. And thank you for the testing and trials that you do to give us, to strengthen us and try us and prove our faith. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen.